B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Draw right circle. Blues win it. High slot, Parayko. Wrister blocked again. This one by Nordstrom. 8 seconds left. Corrali fires it off the glass. Five. They battle for it. Parayko, right circle. Centers deflected. Rask the save. Shen digging away as Achari buries him. And the horn is going to sound. Rask pulls himself out of there. The Boston Bruins roar back with four unanswered goals. And they win game one of the Stanley Cup Final by a final of 4-2 out of the St. Louis Blues.
One down, three more to go for the Bruins. Game one in the books. A win for the Bees last night has them that much closer to winning the cup. What a win. What a game. I feel like you got a really entertaining hockey game last night.
Sure did.
After the 11-day layoff. That was worth it.
Not only that, as much as you felt like you were gypped in some of those other series, that was a good game last night.
Yeah, you got your money's worth last night. You got it all.
It kind of took a shot early in the mouth, and he said, F this, and he... So let's turn this into a street fight.
You know, the Bruins in that game last night, even though they went down two goals early, they still had more chances early. They still had better, I felt, chances early than what St. Louis had. The Shen goal was a good one, but the second one, the Bruins basically gifted St. Louis. They gave them a gift. They
put so stupid.
They gift-wrapped it and put a bow on it for St. Louis on that second one, turning the puck over. And the Bruins were still generating more chances early. And in the second period, the Bruins limited them to three shots in that second period. So even though early they were, you know, putting themselves in a bad position, it never felt like St. Louis, even though they had a two-goal lead, it had really taken the game over. But even still, the Bruins had a response. The Bruins responded, even though they had put themselves in the position in some way.
Yeah.
They had a response for it almost immediately. They got down 2-0, and they almost immediately responded right away.
This is what has been trending this way, and we've been talking about this too, you know, in regards to the Celtics. Like, when you face adversity and you get hit, how do you react? How do you respond? The Celtics would go backwards. And you can even go back a couple months. The Bruins had this going on for a while where – they hit these stretches where, okay, you get challenged in this game or that game, and they come out, what do? They respond next period. Or they have the ability to make adjustments and to throw that fourth line out there. And here we go again. We talked about it yesterday. How responsible were some of the young kids going to be? How were they going to react in spots? How about your third and your fourth line? And, man, here they are again. Here they are again. And Rask was good enough last night. Did anybody ask about the pasta turnover? Like, whose fault that was? Did we get anything post-game on that?
Yeah, they talked about it a little bit.
Okay, all right. Like, well, I mean, I understand why he dumped it, but why is Chara floating in front of the net? But other than that, you really didn't have many screw-ups in this game. But there's good intensity there. When they tried to rough you up and hit you, you hit back. And that's what we like. That's what we like about that sport. You know, they responded well. That's a good win. That's good coming out of the gate right there. That's a big win. One down, three to go. Three to go, and we're having a parade again. It's unbelievable.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself, though.
I'm pretty confident.
You were down 2-0 into the second period last night.
And that is a credit to the Bruins, though. I mean, they were down 2-0,
yes.
And they...
But I'm not...
Again, there's a response, but don't think...
The series is not over.
They dominated number two and three.
They dominated, and we're still down 2-0. That's my point. They dominated large portions of that game and still had to come from behind in order to win it.
Well, that sucker went
3-2. This is what I think
was
dangerous about last night. I look at the game and say, St. Louis, to me, had a bad night. They did not... I look at the night and say St. Louis, to me, did not play well in any portion of that game. I don't think they played well early in that game. Yeah, Shen's goal was a nice goal.
It was a snipe.
I mean, you look at the goal and the way that Shen sort of gathered the puck and, you know.
That's intentional.
Settled it down and put it where he put it. That's a nice goal. But they didn't have a lot of chances. They didn't create a lot offensively.
Can they?
Early. So even if they had two goals early, it's not like it was a product of them creating a lot. Okay? It wasn't. So I look at the game and say, well, that was a game that St. Louis deserved to lose. But the Bruins were still down 2-0. They had to come back in a game that they certainly played and carried the play in and were the better team. So, yeah, the Bruins deserve to win. The Blues deserve to lose. So why were you down 2-0 in that game? Yes, great win. A lot of fun. We enjoyed the hell out of it. We got everything we wanted out of it.
Yeah.
What if the Blues show up?
That's a big
if you find yourself down,
big question mark.
If you find yourself down 2-0 in a game that you should have won, well, I hope you don't find yourself down 2-0 in a game, where the Blues are showing up and are playing their style exactly the way that they want to play, and you're not creating as much as you were. The Bruins look like a much quicker team, and we expected that. That to me is the disparity here. That is going to pay a lot of dividends for the Bruins.
Well, I think it's a great time.
I think you're seeing it right away. And I think that's why a lot of people are picking the Bruins here locally. I don't know that they're getting the love nationally in the hockey media, but I think for those of you who have picked the Bruins early because of that, I think you're seeing why. I think you're being rewarded early on. I thought that was evident last night.
Yep.
They look like a much faster team.
They look like the better team. They did.
They are the better team.
Yeah. Yep, that's why they go out there, they take care of business.
Based on a game.
Don't have those type of turnovers. Right.
Not every game is going to go exactly how last night went.
Right. I understand that. But you got one more at home tomorrow night. You get up 2-0-1 this. Those are tough to come back from, man. Tough to come back from. I don't think that team's that good. I don't. It seems like they got a couple good guys, but it's almost like you sit here and you watch. And, of course, we don't sit there and watch St. Louis Blues hockey all the time, but you're like, okay, you started studying the Sharks a week ago, and you're like, okay, you at least you're aware of some of those players on that team. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Blues, but
there's plenty of ability on that top line that scored two goals. And it's more than just the top line. And early on in the game when I thought the Bruins, they weren't rusty, they were a little bit sloppy at times, but it seemed like just some tired legs. They were having some issues getting their legs underneath them, I thought, at the beginning. And St. Louis did not have that issue. And they were getting the puck out of their own end, and they were, down there digging. And it was like watching a game where I thought, okay, this is going to be a bit of a, not a slugfest, but it's going to be a lot of that back and forth where neither team is going to be willing to concede much in their own end to get things going. And I don't think that's going to change for St. Louis. I think they are better than what you saw last night. So, they didn't play all that well, and they still had a 2-0 lead in the second period. Think about that.
Let's think about this. Two of your goals came from the Corrali line, and one of them came on the power play from Charlie McAvoy. The other one doesn't count. It's an empty netter. Where's your production coming from?
Not your top line.
Your production didn't come from your top line in this game.
Nope.
Brad Marchand was in that spot that we were talking about when we were doing the show yesterday, just off the glove side. And it's like, get him the puck over there and let him snipe one. And he had a couple of chances over there. The first one.
Who hit the post?
Talked to Jaffe about it. And he said, yeah, that's timing. That's not rust. That's not, not being ready. He said, that's game speed timing. When that pass comes over on the one timer and you're just trying to, pick that spot and boom, he said, That's where you see it. That's where the 11-day layoff comes in, right there.
And it's not hand injury?
For Marchand? How dare you, Jim? He's fine.
You're banged up in the scrimmage.
Hand injury.
He looked tentative at the beginning.
Maybe.
Who's that Felger? Felger and Maz had.
Yeah, they had Joe McDonald on.
Joe McDonald, and he kind of slid in. Yeah, we were concerned when we saw him leave the locker room because he had his arm covered in a big jacket. And Felger goes, whoa, whoa. When? It's probably iced up, but that thing was wrapped up. So it wasn't maybe something minor like we all thought the other night. So he kind of slid out of that, I guess, the scrimmage.
Maybe I was looking for something after hearing that interview yesterday, but I heard the interview and watching him in the first period, I was like, oh, he's obviously hurt.
Well,
but then he rebounded later in the game. He looked good.
I didn't hear the interview. I didn't know that going in. And I watched the first period with many other people on the ninth floor who all said, wow, he looks like bleep. So I didn't go in with the preconceived notion that he was hurt. I just watched that first period and said, what's going on with him? What's his deal? He doesn't look good. He doesn't look like himself. So maybe something is, but I thought you were right. By the time, you know, you got to the later portions of the game, I thought he looked better.
Well, maybe that's good.
And
he
that
could hear this
just,
today.
That's why I just sort of chalked it up to, he just, you know, needed a, like some guys need to, just sort of knock off the rust after 11 days off.
Well, he also has the antennas up, so maybe he's hearing this and he's a little pissy coming out tomorrow night because everybody's like, oh, he didn't play that well. Yeah, who said that? Yeah, it's funny how you people dictate when we play well. Hey, get that guy back. Yeah. You get that chippy guy back and get that line going, I think the Bruins can handle this team.
Well, his coach didn't think that line was going well either, which is why he put the Corrali line back out on the ice later in the game.
Ooh.
That's not me talking. That's, again, his head coach. That's the head coach of the Bruins. You want to hear that?
I'd love to.
Because that's how Sean Corrali ended up with the goal in the third period, because Bruce Cassidy had a gut feeling and said, well, the Bergeron line's not getting things done. I'm putting Corrali's line back out there.
Love it.
Bruce, after the second goal, you seemed to get away from the Bergeron-Shen matchup. Give me your thinking for that.
Wasn't going our way, EJ. It was that simple. I thought, you know, Berge's line had a tough time finding their game tonight. The other guys were a little bit ahead of them in terms of their, you know, puck possession. And so we've used Corrali's line all year against good lines. So we decided to maybe go that route. Worked out for us tonight. We'll reevaluate on Wednesday. Or Coyle's line, I thought they were having a good night too. So a little more offense against offense, and they had the puck a lot. So I think that's one way you contain good lines. And usually Berge's line will have a lot of ozone puck possession, but for whatever reason tonight, they weren't able to do it as much as they typically do.
I'm excited for that reevaluation on Wednesday.
A reevaluated Wednesday.
We'll see again. They don't respond again. They're going back in. Love that.
It's awesome. It's a coach who just, you know, goes on what he's seeing. What he's feeling?
Yeah. What needs to happen?
Making some in-game assessments, going with some gut feelings of who's actually got it tonight and who doesn't.
Unlike Carolina, who you'll play and you'll be up big, but you know we don't pull the goalie. We don't do that here. You know, that's written rule. We've never.
He's not obsessed with showing too much respect for the veterans.
Yeah, playing his guys.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Who's playing well tonight? Whoever's playing well will be on the ice. It's not going your way tonight. You guys don't have it, so I'm going to go with the guys who do have it tonight. Thanks.
And when he makes,
and that's
those
why Corrali's
switches.
Line is out there in the third period. And that's why Corrali ends up with that goal.
And they're ready when he makes the switch. Like, they respond.
Yep.
They've responded all year this way.
Yep.
It's great. It's confident. It gives you more confidence about your team.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because you're supposed to be able to rely on those guys on that top line.
But you know they're going to come around.
Those are your most talented players. I mean, you know.
I can't help but think of Hardy every night. Like, do you have McAvoy and Clifton and Corrali scoring? And I just keep thinking Hardy, like, they can't win like this overall. I agree.
I don't know why you'd be picking a sweep in the Stanley Cup final, relying on the Cliftons and the Corrallis and the, you know, I don't know. I'm not doing that. You know, this could get interesting because of that. If this continues for that top line, things could get a little dicey here. That's all.
Yeah.
I still think they're winning the thing. That's why I got them in six on the road.
No.
Six on the road.
No.
Not ruling out the Blues winning a game or two here.
Well, the Blues can dictate the matchups at home, so
yes, they can. Yes, they can. That's why Wednesday night becomes very, very important. That's why these home games very important in this series, and proved to be very important for the Bruins last night, as you just heard in that clip with Bruce Cassidy. You know what else was very important last night? Torrey Krug trying to kill a man.
Yes,
a signature moment. In game one of the Stanley Cup final, Torrey Krug tried to kill a guy, and it was amazing. We're going to talk about that coming up next.
He went hunting.
617-779-0985, and your reaction to a Bruins win in game one of the Stanley Cup final. We will get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Wedge to the near hash marks. Out in front.
Oh, what a battle in front of the net going on right now.
Battling with their guy in front, and got up without a helmet and wasn't too happy about it.
Corey Krug, Perron, still going at it.
Krug came in and just hammered on the Blues. I think that was Robert Thomas. Oh, Krug just ran him over.
To the far wing. Krug without a helmet. He takes a run at Robert Thomas.
And Krug with his helmet up is giving it to the referee.
No bucket. Old-time hockey. Corey Krug with a battle in front of the net.
A good, clean, hard hit. Never left his feet after he made the contact.
Thomas saw him coming to the last second. Clean hit by Torrey Krug. He came a long way. He wanted somebody.
That was an exchange, I think, that was Torrey Krug, you know, establishing himself in this series.
He was going to finish somebody. Full chops from the bench as he came to the bench.
Wow. Torrey Krug.
What an igniter.
Lights up Robert Thomas, hits him like a Mack truck, comes from one end of the ice to the other last night.
The hit of the year.
Absolutely levels him after being at the other end of the ice. This happened with 10.5 minutes to play in the third period. The Bruins had a 3-2 lead at the time. And as you heard in all those various calls from all the different broadcasts last night, he was at the other end of the ice and was wrestling with David Perron at the other end of the ice, literally wrestling in front of the net. The two of them were down on the ice, wrestling with one another in front of the official who's watching the entire thing play out. And Perron ends up ripping off Torrey Krug's helmet on the ice. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen, where it just went on for a full minute.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how long it lasted.
Well, it's almost like he got to the point where then Perron gets on top, and it's almost getting him in a headlock. Like, it looks like he's noogieing him, but he's like pushing his head down. It's like, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself. And it pissed Krug off. And Krug got up looking for blood.
I mean, David Perron was basically sitting on top of him on the ice.
Yeah.
They're both on the ground on the ice, and
it was the
he's
initial
got him pinned down, and he rips his helmet right off his head.
Yeah, it was the initial takedown that I think Krug probably took the most exception with. And then when he was holding him down, okay, Krug reached back with his right arm and was holding his right leg. So, okay, now it's a back and forth, but, you know, at the risk of sounding like a five-year-old, he started it. So
right.
Krug is just trying to get the business back to him, and the ref is looking right at him.
So
he's staring at them as this is taking place.
He like at one point, I almost feel like he sort of shrugged.
Yeah.
Like,
and Perron's looking around too, trying to figure out where the hell's the ref.
And Hardy and I moved to the sixth floor when this happened. So it happened right in front of us.
You got with the place going
we had
nuts.
A great view of it. It was unbelievable.
It was the loudest the building was all night.
And the ref just sort of looks at them like, I'm not calling anything here. You boys settle this on your own. And then the helmet gets ripped off. And that's when you're like, okay, what are we doing here? And Krug gets up off the ice and is pissed and just goes like a man on a mission from one end of the ice to the other and absolutely levels Robert Thomas. And for the penalty that wasn't called on one end of the ice, Krug was not going to be called for a penalty for a charge on the other end of the ice.
Perron?
Because at that point, it's the third period in the Stanley Cup final, and the penalties are turned off at this point. No more penalties.
He goes to
everything
play,
goes.
But he goes to play the puck before he goes for the hit, so it's just like totally legal. But Perron,
no, it's not totally legal.
But he turned his back to him, and Krug's calling, and it looks like Krug wanted to hit him back.
Yes.
The puck is there, but I mean, by the letter of the law, it's not a legal hit, but
well,
it's fair game, if you ask me. It's not a cheap shot. He didn't cheap shot him. He didn't hit him in the head. He didn't go high on him.
I'm glad he pulled it's a off body Perron hit and didn't go after Perron.
He didn't go for his head.
It looked like he was skating for Perron, which makes the most sense.
And then
it's like, no, he's going to the bench. So he just instead finds another gear. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get back in the play. We're still playing hockey. And, yeah, there was nothing illegal about it. It's just it's a much harder check.
Oh no, it's a charge. I mean, it's that's what the penalty's for. They don't often call it. It's rare. You don't get a lot of those.
I don't think so.
It is what it is.
I don't think so. It's just a much harder check that you would put on that player in that circumstance, like in any other point in a game.
He ran him over.
Yeah, it's like what the hell, dude? I mean, there's checks and there's checks. Good grief!
It was awesome.
That hurts your teeth.
They shouldn't have called anything on it. It was brilliant. The whole sequence was amazing. Oh, that was so great. I loved every second of it.
See, those are the good parts of hockey, just to let plays like that go. I know you've got a rule on it, and you know the game is changing that, but every once in a while, just sprinkle a couple of those in to where it makes the game fun, makes it interesting. That was the best play of the night, best sequence of the night.
It was just, you don't expect to see a forecheck, you know, happen like that, especially from a defenseman coming like into the play. You know, it's, you know, generally those guys are skating up just to get up there and maybe, you know,
I thought he was gonna
position himself on the blue line and, you know, try and, you know, just, you know, get back into where he's supposed to be. But no, as you said, he was on a mission.
Oh, so great.
It took him everything
to pull
off.
What a signature moment.
Oh.
What a signature moment for Torrey Krug.
If they end up,
we're going to remember that hit forever.
Yes. If they end up winning the cup, and I'm not, of course, you like their chances a little bit more today than you did yesterday because they've got game one. Not making any predictions, but if they end up winning it, that will end up being one of the moments.
So we have all this, like, I don't want to call it crap. We have all this, like, memorabilia and stuff hanging around the station. I told Jim this morning, I want a poster size of that hit hanging in the hallways here. I want a poster of the hit.
Like the old Fathead, the old Brady Fathead jumping over the pile.
Yes, I want the Torrey Krug hit Fathead. I want him to come in. He comes in the station from time to time to do some, you know, commercials and stuff, and I want him to sign it to us. Like, you know, 298.5 The Sports. I love Torrey Krug. I want him to there out there outside the studio in the hallway.
Too hockey.
So we can look at that every day. It was how beautiful that was. Oh, how great was that? And the building was on fire when that happened. Oh, my God. That was so much fun. What a moment. Signature moment. Stamping himself with a signature moment in game one last night, Torrey Krug. Congratulations. That was a thing of beauty. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. Hang that one on the wall.
Was it any louder in there? At any point during the game?
I mean, I actually think it was a pretty good crowd last night. I saw a lot of people at home that were bitching about the crowd or watching on TV.
At that moment, it was the loudest the building.
I would say I think, yeah.
Yeah. More so than the third goal.
I thought the first goal place got pretty loud. So third goal too. Yeah, sure. Hard to gauge. It was very loud.
Crowd was popping on TV last night.
Yeah.
Popping on TV. And there have been times in other series where the place seemed like it was dead ass. Just people in their ass. That whole loge looked like they were on their feet. And I think that's a big part of it. That's what resonates off the TV. Those people down low, they get up. Yeah, it's a different game. Different feel. Felt like there was electric. We felt electricity at home watching it.
And the no helmet with the hair flying.
It's the hair.
The whole
it's the
look.
Hockey hair.
You know what I mean? What a look. Just what a throwback.
I said that, Tom, before the show. It gives you like the, you know how like those crazy people are out there saying like, well, if you play helmetless football, you'll be safer because of the hits. That was a textbook like safe.
You're not using your head.
He wasn't going to get hurt on that play. And the guy that he hit wasn't going to get hurt on that play.
Because you didn't want to get contact with your head.
He purposely kept his head out of that hit because he didn't have a helmet on.
Eyes up.
That's the reason for something like that.
I don't know if you noticed in the still shot, but the seven is sort of hidden from the arm in his jersey, which makes it look like he's wearing number four, you know, which makes it even cooler.
Oh, you know? Did he get tripped?
Oh, I saw many of those side-by-sides. The side-by-sides of them flying through the air. The statue, him next to the statue.
Makes him look like he's Bobby.
Well, I think Jim Louth is trying to make a case that here's why they need to take the helmets off, start playing again. You know, we've heard it in football. Take the helmets off. You know, that'll decrease the head-to-head right there. Perfectly safe hit.
It's got to feel good taking a puck off the head every once in a while, though.
Well, hitting the ice, too. I mean, that's...
Yeah, falling back and hitting the
ice. It's great for the hits in the cells, but it's the other
stuff. Keep the helmets on. Keep the helmets
on. Or hitting
the
glass.
But we understand Jim's point.
Like hitting up against the glass without a helmet, that's going
to
hurt, too.
Just to be clear, Jim...
Use that form. Use that form all the time. If you have a helmet on or not, use that form.
Just to be clear, Jim is saying, kids, take the helmets off.
Yeah, stop wearing helmets in sports is what Jim's take is today. No helmets in sports.
Ever since Jim started coaching...
Kids, when you go out and ride your bike today, Mr. Louth says, don't wear a helmet. That's what he said today.
Yep, when you fall, keep your chin up. Just like, you flip over your helmet.
I get what you're saying, though. I do understand what you mean.
I mean, Pete Carroll does practices, tackling practices with no helmets, right? Because just try to practice the form.
Yeah.
Let's go to Todd, who's in Bridgewater. Hey, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Just calling about the game last night, the second period. It was 2-2, and I don't know if you saw it in the responses, but... Jordan Binnington looks behind him and absolutely plants Backes with an elbow. I'm not saying there should be a suspension or anything, but I could definitely get a sense that kind of the action of Binnington, even Perron on Krug, that really kind of maybe, I don't know, this might be just kind of like the emotion of everything, but really kind of turned the tide on.
He hooked him, too. He, like, stuck his...
Yeah.
I mean, and I know Doc Emmerich after, too. Yeah, baby.
Wow.
Baby bird.
I don't know what happened there.
Baby eagle.
Let's talk about that. I do know what he's talking about. Yeah. It happened in the second period. Binnington absolutely hammered Backes in the face with an elbow. Coming back, got him intentionally in the face with an elbow. There are issues between David Backes and the St. Louis Blues. We'll get to that. His former team. We'll get to that coming up after Hardy's headlines. And more of your calls. We got open lines. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm not taking anybody's number. I'm playing for the next shift and trying to win a hockey game, and I think our guys are all doing that, and we're focused on what we need to do, and numbers can be taken and revenge maybe later, but we're looking to win a hockey game, and I thought our guys were focused on what we needed to do.
So David Backes got into it early and often last night with some of his former teammates. Obviously didn't leave there on good terms. He's got some bad blood there. This is going to be something to watch all series long.
Which is weird because he's a veteran guy. Seems like a really good pro. It's a good answer he gives there. He's not trying to stir anything up, but he's also telling you something happened because, yeah, we will take numbers. There will be revenge at some point. You know, we're trying to win a hockey game. He answered it right. He goes, you know, later's for revenge. Which means something's happened.
What? Like, what is the deal?
Who'd he piss off?
What was the deal with Edmondson early, who cross checks him in the face
and then hits him in the back like another?
He goes
shot.
Down. This is early in the tie game. Was second period, right?
Yep.
When that happened,
cross checks him in the face. Then he turns his back and then he hits him in the back,
right in front of the benches. Backes goes down. Edmondson is pissed that he gets called for it. Backes is down on the ice, and Edmondson hits him again from behind while he's down on the ice on his hands and knees. Hits him again. And then wants to go. Like, let's go. Yeah. Get up, Backes. I'm like, what? Wow. There's something there. These two don't like each other.
Which is good. Because I need some distaste here in this series. I do. I need to find somebody to dislike.
Backes went down, ref's arm goes up, and all of a sudden, you know, he hits him a second time, and then he wants to fight him. In a tie game, 2-2. I don't know if Backes baited him into it, if there's, you know, some history there. Yeah, yeah. And Backes said something to him to get him to do that. But maybe. If he did, congratulations, David Backes. Good move. What a dope in a 2-2 game. What are you, an idiot? What's wrong with you? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I thought that was incredibly stupid on his part. Incredibly stupid. So...
And again, there's got to be like...
there's more to it, right?
Yeah, like a history there in addition to what happened.
There's always is, yeah.
Because at that moment in the game, there couldn't have been anything that transpired in the game up to that point that would have pushed him to the point where he would have risked that.
Unless they've got it.
Given up the power play. These guys have to know. They have to know as part of their prep for this series going in. It's like, don't do anything dumb to give the Bruins the power play.
Unless they got stupidly not taught or told in their heads that, hey, we could go after Backes and get to him early and try and start something. That would be like totally ass backwards part of it. The counter to what Hardy said.
I was looking at the scrum.
Like, let's go after
the clock at the scrum when Binnington hit Backes. The Edmondson thing happened earlier in the game. And I'm looking back at a different angle of when Binnington hit Backes. It looks like maybe Backes was going, someone just tweeted a different angle of this. It looks like Backes was grabbing the back of the knee of Binnington, which is why Binnington popped him in the face. It looks like Backes took his right hand and grabbed the back of the knee of Binnington. And that's why, well, I mean, you're a goalie.
Yeah.
And someone's in there reaching. It looks like he grabbed the back of his knee pretty good. And that's why Binnington popped him in the face.
It's very.
So that explains that part of it.
It's not normal for goalies to react that way, though. They usually let everything handle. You know, stay in your zone. Keep your mind about you. It, last thing you should do is to get out there and mix it up. It's not the norm. But, yeah, cheap shot. Cheap shot elbow. So if guys in there reaching, grabbing, and scrapping, I mean, how many times is Tuukka getting some of that stuff? Look at the end of the game with Tuukka. How many polyps were there? There's stuff that goes on in there. Backes is not a dirty player.
Yeah. But then after that all goes on, him and Edmondson are going at it again later on. So this is all later on in the second period after that whole scrum went on around the net. Backes and Edmondson are going at it again. So him and Edmondson don't like each other. There's something to this. There's something to this. These guys don't like one another. And that's when they're getting separated by the ref again when he wanted to fight him.
So they fought in 2017, January of 2017.
There's so many wanting to fight each other videos from last night. I'm having trouble keeping them all straight.
Krejci went down. His head was bleeding. Edmondson was on top of him. But it wasn't Edmondson that did the damage.
Yeah, Backes fought him.
He got 17 minutes.
Excellent. Excellent. 617-779-0985. Paul's in Milford, New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hiya.
You there?
Yeah, hey. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Okay, so Brad Marchand's skating around the side of the net, and Binnington hooks him, trying to prevent him to get the puck. So Binnington loses his glove. He loses his stick. And he was doing an illegal play. And the play goes on. Then they blow the whistle. What do you think about that?
I thought it was absurd. And there's no reason and no good reason under the rules to stop play like they did.
It was crazy. I mean, that could have been a big moment. I mean, how's he going to stop a shot with no stick and no glove?
None. If he gets a shot there? None. Right. Just because a goalie loses his equipment doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It was just one of those moments. That they, you know, no explanation given, and you wonder why that happened.
I mean, it's the stuff you don't see Tuukka do, and I think it's why they have a massive advantage from goalie standpoint. Now, that's a young kid here. I don't know. Maybe the moment's too big a little bit. Then all of a sudden, you score four unanswered. You know, you say, okay, you started to get to him. How much is that going to carry over to tomorrow night? Throws it in his head a little bit. Maybe he feels he needs to do those type of things. You know, it's not normal. You don't see Rask do that.
I mean, you could make a case that it could have been a penalty, right?
Yeah.
But let's leave that to the side, okay? Let's not gripe about that. How about just the equipment part? What are you blowing the whistle for to let him get his equipment back? Bull crap. Let the play continue.
It ain't
your responsibility to help the goalie get his equipment back that he lost on his own doing, trying to interfere with a skater.
Guys break sticks
not
and lose sticks all the time, and they just continue play.
Not your job. He loses the blocker, he loses the stick. Not your job to stop play. Let the play continue.
And that's why we were saying yesterday, if they're going to call a tight series or at least a tight game based on the officials last night, we're like, okay, good. That'll benefit the Bruins and their power play. Except in cases like that, where it stops the momentum and they stop play for seemingly the benefit of the Bruins, the Blues goaltender last night.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, that's not calling it tight. You know, that's just, that's incorrect. No, you don't do that.
You know, I thought early on in the game, I got really nervous early on in the game last night because I think it was Corrali in the first few minutes of the game that got called and went to the box for a tripping call for a phantom trip.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was maybe one of the worst penalties we've seen of the Bruins playoff run. Because I don't think he was touched.
No.
And he fell down. He just lost the skate. He fell down.
May have been an issue with the ice.
That, there, that. No, there was an issue with the ice. You could tell there were issues with the ice last night.
There was like two or three slips and falls there in a row, and a trip ends up getting called. It's like, this all can't be the ice.
Ice is a problem.
I think that was the
ice.
Like
I said earlier about the Shen goal, look at him trying to like settle the puck down. Puck is bouncing all over the place, and he's trying to settle the puck down to shoot the puck. So he falls down, and I thought, oh, my God, if we're calling this tonight, where is this game going? This is how tight it's going to be called, and I think, luckily, the refs went the other way for the night. It went in the other direction for all of us. I mean, wow, because if they were going to call the game like that, we were in for a long, long night. We'll get back to your calls. Also, the intro last night on both Blues Radio and on NBC with Dennis Leary. We'll get to that coming up. And most importantly today, we are giving away tickets to Game 2 on Wednesday night. We will do that at 12:50. Dan Shaughnessy will be in studio with us today starting at 11. But we're giving away tickets at 12:50 to Game 2. That's right. We have a pair of tickets for you to go to the Stanley Cup. Game 2 tickets, 12:50 today, right here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Come.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Now, St. Louis Blues hockey. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the TD Garden here in Boston. Tonight, the St. Louis Blues face off against the Boston Bruins. It's game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And oh my goodness, Joe Vitale, the city of St. Louis. Blues fans have been waiting for this moment.
Oh, my God, have they ever. It's been 17,914 days since we've been in this position right now. And the building in St. Louis, it's full. We're here in Boston. This is full. The city's going crazy. Both teams have had a long break, and they are ready to drop the puck.
Well, somebody woke up Vitaly. That's good. He's awake.
Hey.
The buildings are full. They're ready to drop the puck.
Hello there,
this reminds
everybody.
Me. These two remind me of the guys doing, what was that, like, claymation celebrity knockout thing on
MTV? Oh, my God.
What was that called?
That's right. You did
celebrity
that.
Celebrity death match.
Death match.
It reminds me of celebrity death match. These two.
I got my numbers written down.
Ding,
it's been 14
ding, over here in the left corner. We've got, you know,
it's been 14,943 days since this place, Spac City, St. Louis, Spac. Everybody's fired up. I'm the gatekeeper, the key master.
Yeah, he's like calling dodgeball on the Ocho or something.
Oh, my God. Have they ever?
Oh,
it's
my God.
17,914 days.
Ever. That's a bold strategy.
See if I can generate a little false enthusiasm before I've been up since 7 o'clock this morning. I had to do a whole couple of other things. I'm actually kind of tired, but I'm gonna find another gear here, another level, and get my second win before the puck drops.
Couple of rails and 14 Red Bulls, and my eyes are wide open. We've got hockey to play.
Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
The building in St. Louis, it's full. We're here in Boston. This is full.
It's full. I'm full. I had a lot to eat for lunch. Then it's a dinner.
I watched Iron Man 1 and 2.
That's what it is. I'm like, what is this voice? It's Scal.
Yes. I like the pick and roll, God. The post play.
I watch. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the TD Garden here in Boston. Tonight, the St. Louis Blues face off against the Boston Bruins.
This guy sounds like the announcer man in a movie. Like when there's that scene in a movie where you go to the sports game, you know, there's the announcer
That's him. That's him.
I got a little lobster roll caught in my throat. Now, see if I can get it out here before the puck drops.
It's game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And, oh, my goodness, Joe Vitale, the city of St. Louis. Blues fans have been waiting for this moment.
Oh, my God, have they ever.
I didn't know how to kill all day today, so I watch Iron Man 1 and 2.
What, and 2?
Oh my God, it's
so excited to talk about Mike on. I'm your cock Cornelius. No. I mean, give me some of the ice off the pick.
Well, these guys also had a dig at Robert Kraft last night on their broadcast. Robert Kraft was in the house watching the game.
Hey, they just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh, ho, ho, burn. Oh, burn.
3-2 the score, 8:52 to go in the third. That was slow-hanging fruit.
We call that a momentum changer. Let's see if the Blues can feed off.
Oh, we do?
Blues win the draw, shoot it to the net. Bennington will make the save off the glove. Hey, big thanks to our 2019 playoff presenting partners, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, BMO Harris Bank, Centina Purina, along with all their employees for their outstanding support during these playoffs and throughout the season. Patriots spent a lot of time over the years suppressing videos.
Oh, really?
Hey, see, that's a Rams little shot there.
It is.
Yeah.
That's.
Are you sure?
Oh, burn!
Oh, Joey Vitale!
Epic, awesome burn!
It burned him good. Robert Kraft, put the napkin on your lap. You got served.
Oh, burn.
Yeah, momentum changer for
the
Bruins.
They are perfect for ESPN the Ocho. They are.
He sounded really surprised, too. Like, that guy didn't have that written out in front of him on a 4x6 card.
I've got to get this zinger exactly right. I've workshopped it a couple of times with our producer.
The suppressing video thing is a pretty good one, though, for a St. Louis-based broadcast.
That was better.
That's pretty good.
That was better.
That's pretty good. They destroyed the tapes.
Yeah, there's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh, burn.
They destroyed the Spygate tapes, and then they suppressed the video on this one. Nah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good from them.
Did they or the league?
Well, they with the league, you know.
I don't know.
Put them in the incinerator.
Not sure. Not sure what happened.
Threw them in the fireplace.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It happened.
Is that how it usually happens? You know, when a league does the investigation, they destroy all the evidence? Is that protocol?
I don't know that that happens.
Or they just never see
it. The way you're describing it.
I'd say in a letter.
What?
I didn't see any letter or package. You just either deny you didn't see it or you destroy it. Yeah.
Assumes facts, not
never. Like Ray Rice. I never saw the tape. Never saw anything.
I don't know
what you're talking about.
The league admits they saw the tapes and then they promptly destroyed them.
Well, what do you need to keep everything? What are they, pack rats?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger Goodell wants to end up on an episode of Hoarders. Thank you, right.
Moscatel and Hoarders.
Right. Anyway, here is Dennis Leary on NBC starting their broadcast last night.
I'm from Boston. It's been 4 months since we've
had a
parade. 4 months.
I didn't know that.
Come on, Bruins. You got to end this drought. Give me this. I mean, look at this baby. Every name, every letter, it has meaning. And now, you know what matters? Fear the bear. They've raised the cup before. They've sipped champagne from the Holy Grail. And now, everyone's wondering if they can do it again. Come on. Of course they can. They're from Boston, city of champions. Now, no one here has taken this lightly. Not with 37 pounds of sulfur at stake.
Behind that, the banner for
the door! It lifts you up and allows you to soar higher than you've ever dreamed imaginable. Our opponent knows that all too well.
Bobby Orr made no mistake in beating Glenn Hall.
But don't take our confidence for disrespect. The Blues, yeah, they deserve to be here. If you've been watching, you know they have something special going on.
Here comes Tarasenko.
Road wins.
Score!
Late game heroics.
Maroon put the city on his shoulders.
Game 7.
St. Louis will go to the Stanley Cup final.
If I hear that damn song one more time, please. Well, now the fight's here in Boston. The 2019 Stanley Cup final. Here, and hold that for us. Just make sure it's nice and clean when it's time to give it back.
How would you feel if you're in St. Louis seeing that last night?
We got gypped. Like, they better put Nelly. Game three.
Wait, how did the Bruins get to control the intro to the series?
What's up? It's Nelly. It's game three. Now you and
maybe
our
that's
city.
What they'll have. Do.
That, see that always do they this. Get they see always that do this. Gateway.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's probably what they get.
Yeah, and in game three they'll have. Who would be the St. Louis equivalent?
Tom said John Hamm.
So it's sort of Boston obnoxious.
I think
last night.
I think John Hamm might be like.
It's a little over the top for Boston.
You know what I wish it were? I wish it were funny. Why are you going to use Dennis Leary if it's not going to be funny?
The funniest thing Dennis Leary ever did that was Bruins related was back in 06. I remember watching the promos for this. I think it was 06, the year when they won like 35 games, when they were doing promos with Leary and they were like, it's about the cup.
It's about the cup.
Now go to work. Yeah. Like, it's not about the cup this year, sir. No, 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 no.
Takes a cigarette out.
This has nothing to do with the cup this year. I understand what you're trying to say. Just don't say that. Don't say that this year. Next year you can say it. Yeah, do it in a year when you're going to make the playoffs. It's about the cup. Nothing will ever be funnier than that.
Of all the people and of all the sports legends in Boston, they come up with Dennis Leary. It's the hockey attachment.
I like Dennis Leary.
I love Dennis Leary. I just wish you'd use him to his best abilities. Let him do something funny.
Yes. Who came up with Fear the Bear?
Yeah, exactly. Why did they make him do that? Here. Let Dennis Leary do Dennis Leary.
He might as well just throw Welcome to Beantown in here.
Please let Dennis Leary do funny, because that's what Dennis Leary does.
Yeah.
Let the man be funny.
Put Lenny Clark in.
Let Dennis Leary be off color and be funny. And let us all laugh. I hate that. Anyway, that's all. Someone said, you know, that this guy sounds like the dropping donos guy.
It does.
Dropping donos.
It does.
Dropping donos. Is he calling video games, too, on the weekends? Dan Shaughnessy will be with us.
You know who the Dennis Leary equivalent is in St. Louis? I just looked it up.
Who is it?
Comedians from St. Louis. The guy who plays Champ.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.